Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. Please don't blame me for the snow. I was just as amazed yesterday morning as it started to fall, but you know, I have a sweater and I can always put on another sweater. So it is good that we are here as we conclude our green and growing season after Pentecost. Next week is Christ the King Sunday, which ends our church year in 2 weeks. We begin a new church year with Advent. And so today, we conclude this green and growing season after Pentecost. And I am glad that you are here with us. Whether you're here in church or you're joining us online, it is good that we are together. I want to make sure I say thanks to all of the people who are part of the Fall Fellowship carry-in dinner last week. It was a very good time. And if you were there, you know it. And if you weren't, there will be another one of these days, and I encourage you to come to that one. All right. Once again, we are collecting for Thanksgiving baskets to go to our neighbors in the community. And I have an announcement that if you know someone in the community that could use one of those Thanksgiving baskets, you may contact the church offices where all of those requests will be kept confidential. All of our bags are out. All of that is out. But if you have one of those bags in our shopping, we need to collect all of that stuff. All of the supplies need to be here at church by Wednesday, November 16. So that's this coming Wednesday. And I want to make sure I say thank you to all of you for your participation once again in this amazing effort. Next Sunday is November 20th, and as I said, it is the last Sunday in the church year, Christ the King Sunday. But on that day, we will also be remembering and celebrating Thanksgiving. And also, on top of all of that amazing stuff, it's a congregational meeting. Everyone's favorite time of the year when we get together and elect new leadership, when we approve a budget, which is sort of a blueprint for our ministry into the year to come. So I hope that you are with us next Sunday for Christ the King, for Thanksgiving, as well as for our congregational meeting. It is all important stuff, and I thank you again for being part of this congregation. We gather this morning so that we might be together in worship. So let us continue that worship by joining together in our gathering song, Come, Let Us Return. Let us rise and sing together. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without you nothing is strong, nothing is holy. Embrace us with your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may live through what is temporary without losing what is eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. May be
seated. The first lesson is from Malachi, chapter 4, verses 1 through 2a. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness, and not according to the traditions they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, so we might not be a burden to any of you. This was not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when you were with us, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your soul." The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. I would like to invite any children to come on forward. Oh, here come Avery. Well, good morning. And how are you today? Good. Do you like watching movies? All right. At the conclusion of the movie, sometimes you see two words come up on the screen. What are they? The end. You've seen that before, right? So there it is. So you know, the end of the movie, there you go. And everyone can get up out of their seats and go throw away their popcorn buckets or anything like that. Now, if you really like the movie, are you happy when you see the end? Sometimes, you know, the movie's over. But there are times when it's like, man, I wish that could go on for a while, right? Right? And sometimes it says the end, and I'm confused. That's the end of the movie? You ever done that? It's like, really? That's the end? Right? All kinds. Well, at this time in the church year, a lot of people are trying to talk to us about the end. All right? Meaning the end of everything and not just the end of the movie. All right? Jesus was talking about it. And there are all kinds of folks who were worried. He said, you know, the temple's not going to last forever. And people were worried that meant it was the end. And there are still people to this day who come up and are worried about things, and they're worried that it's the end. Every time Jesus talks about the end, he's filled with hope. And in the parables, he talks about them like it's going to be a banquet or a party or a celebration. So what I'm trying to tell you is that even if eventually in the great movie screen of the sky, we see the end, I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to be worried. We can all be a little confused, but I want you to hold on to your faith and remember God loves you from your beginning until the end. You are God's child. That's cool. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, there are days when we worry about the end. Help us to remember your love, your care, and your insight that we need not worry, but we can always fall upon your love. Be with us this day, Lord. Amen. Thank you for coming. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor Brad was heading back to his office when he decided to take a slight detour. He headed over to the big classroom that was at the far end of the fellowship hall because that's where Godrags met. Now, Godrags was a group within his church that did quilting and knitting and crocheting and stuff like that. And some also designed and made banners for worship. Now, when he had first walked into church that morning, they had been laughing loudly and carrying on just like usual. You know, you get three people together and we're all going to do that kind of thing. But as he was walking back to his office, he noticed that it was very quiet from the other end of that fellowship hall. So he walked over to stop in. "Hi, ladies," he said as he came into the room. "How is everything this morning?" "You are just the person we need to see, Pastor," said one of the ladies who's over knitting a prayer shawl. "We've got some questions for you." I wondered what was up," Brad said. "I had heard all of your laughter a while back and then nothing. So either something was up or Lydia had forgotten the punchline to one of her stories." And he smiled as he pointed over to Lydia Fredrickson, who was usually the one who kept everyone laughing. "No, something is definitely up, Pastor," Charlotte went on. "We were talking about the end times." And as she said that, Brad could almost hear the quotation marks on either side of end times. "Well, it's the time of the church year for it. What is it that you guys were wondering about?" "Well," Charlotte continued, "we were just talking, and then we were talking about the news and all of the horrible stuff that you can see in the world. And then Phyllis was talking about the war in Ukraine and the stuff in Iran and all over and how horrible it all was. And then Glenda, who is reading this coming Sunday, reminded us the gospel reading is the one that talks about wars and rumors of wars and Jesus' warnings that we should all beware. And so, as you can see, something is up and we need your help, Pastor." Pastor Brad smiled and sat down. "No wonder it had gotten quiet around here. You ladies are really in the middle of something today. You know, just by way of trivial information for you, talk about end times has always been popular here in the United States, especially since Mr. John Darby and Dr. Schofield published a Bible in the late 18th century, tracing all of Mr. Darby's thoughts about the end of everything. You see, Darby had separated history into dispensations or eras of time. And then he concluded that they were all living in the end times. Now, ladies, I'm convinced that over the last 2,000 years, every single generation has thought that they were in the end times and it's not going to stop now. Paul believed it, right? All kinds of other people after him believed it. They still do to this day. Now, the Bible does talk a little bit about end times, but when I hear it, I always hear Jesus talking about all of that in terms of hope. Luther did too. Pastor Brad looked around the room and saw the incredulous faces that he was expecting. "I do hear hope, ladies. In the lesson we will read on Sunday, Jesus does talk about wars and all of that, but he says that the end will not come immediately because wars happen. You guys know that. From World War II to Korea and Vietnam to Grenada and Iraq, Afghanistan, now Ukraine and beyond. Those are just all of the ones that made it the headlines in our lifetimes. Jesus knows that wars come. He may not be happy about it, but he knows it. Jesus also knows that when wars come, so does rhetoric about the end. Now, mostly those thoughts about the end come because we can't imagine those horrors continuing on forever. We're scared. Jesus also talks about earthquakes and natural disasters and more of those kinds of happenings that cause us to long for the end. And he tells us that all of those things are going to come too. Now, maybe that isn't so wonderfully hopeful. But when Jesus talks, he keeps on and he talks about our faith. He says that the things will not go well in one sense, but that God is with us and that by our endurance, that is, by our faith, you gain your souls. Brad looked around and they had all stopped sewing or knitting or whatever. What Jesus is telling us, he continued, is that no matter how horrible it looks, there is always hope. There is always hope because of God and God's presence and God's love. We are here. God is with us. We have each other. And we have a ministry to help and care and just be for each other. In Thessalonians, Paul is going to tell us to not be weary of doing what is right. That's like you, ladies. Even though there are wars and earthquakes, a volcano or other things, you are here together, sewing, knitting, crocheting, doing some wonderful things. Why? Well, I hope at least one of those reasons is that you know that God loves you. That brings hope to folks like me, that you are here doing all this stuff. Now, another reason to be here can be to help those who are suffering, however they are suffering. Right here in this room, you are living in faith and hope. One last thing about end times, and I'll stop boring you, Brad said. Someone once asked Martin Luther what he would do if he knew that the world was going to end the next day. And Luther said that he would plant an apple tree. Luther knew that hope is crucial for us. And at the time, for him, planting an apple tree was the most hopeful thing that he could think of. You are quilting and all these other things to bring hope. Not only to you, but to all of the people who are going to receive your quilts and shawls and other stuff. So how do we deal with the end of time? I think that you have a pretty good answer right here. We live and love and try and help and bring hope each day regardless. That's what Jesus is asking us. No matter how bleak it can look, there is always hope because God is with us. And as Pastor Brad finished, it was as if a cloud had been removed from the room and light was shining in. The ladies all smiled, and eventually they offered Pastor Brad some coffee bread. Then they began to ask and talk about other activities that were going on in church. You see, to ponder the end of everything can be hugely intimidating and a ghastly, frightening proposal. And while we do it every year in the church, very few people want to contemplate the horrors that the world thinks needs to accompany all of the talk. Now, movies are always popular, but they always happen to someone else and they're over in 2 hours. All right? Jesus is always hopeful when he speaks about the end times. In the parables, he talks about them as celebrations and as parties. And even as he's talking in today's gospel, he wants us to know that the presence of God, the love of God, our faith as a gift from God is more than enough to be proof against any fear. Hope is amazing for us because it gives us a future for which to prepare. Hope gives us joy now and in the days to come. Faith gives us hope, and hope comes from love, so that God's love is the greatest power we know. Trust that love. Share that love far and wide. God is asking us to do just that in hope, never weary of doing what is right, for God is never tired of loving you. Amen. In celebration of our baptism, let us confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. Please rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. United with your saints across time and place, we pray for our shared world. Reviving God, keep your church active in its mission and ministry. Encourage bishops, deacons, pastors, and lay leaders to risk boldly in their proclamation and fill them with wisdom and endurance for challenging times. Lord, in your mercy, renewing God, as the northern hemisphere prepares for winter, make us mindful of the ordered beauty of your creation. Teach us to treasure cycles of rest and new life. Help us to care for what you have made. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, accompany all who make sacrifices for the sake of others. Safeguard first responders and active duty military personnel. Grant peace to veterans and heal any wounds in body, mind, or spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we thank you today for all the men and women who have served in our armed forces. We are grateful for their dedication, discipline, faithfulness, and courage. Help us to learn from them the virtues of selfless service, unswerving loyalty to country, the discipline of teamwork for the good of all, obedience to authority, and perseverance in difficult and challenging situations. Bless them and their families for all the sacrifices made. We pray that you will provide your care and healing power for our veterans. Give each of our veterans all they need to find peace, joy, love, and hope in their everyday lives. Help us always to be able to express to our veterans our gratitude for their service to us. Lord, in your mercy. Healing God, your people cry out to you. Sustain doctors, nurses, and hospital personnel in their tireless work. Uphold mental health professionals and those in your care. May the Sun of Righteousness rise on all who are sick. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate God, we pray for those who need your healing presence. Bless all who suffer illness and disease, who struggle with injury and accident. We pray especially for Sharon, Fran, Janet, Carol, Jack, John, Brenda, and Rhonda. May the hope-filled presence of Christ rest upon them and all. Lord, in your mercy. Uniting God, unite this assembly in its shared mission and ministry for the sake of the gospel. Highlight ways we can better work together and give us patience to work through disagreement. Lord, in your mercy. Consoling God, abide with all who grieve for loved ones who have died. Comfort us with the promise of resurrection and new life with you. Lord, in your mercy. Accept these prayers, gracious God, and those known only to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Enjoy the snow. Try to stay warm. Have a wonderful week as you go into the world with hope.
May God bless you.
That's what we do.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Into the world, we're reaching out to show them who you are.